From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Liam Elder Connors.
And I'm Lexi Krupp. It's Wednesday, May 31st. Here are today's headlines.
Two Vermont State Police troopers pleaded not guilty yesterday to charges that they used excessive force during an incident last year. VSP Sergeant Ryan Wood and Trooper Zachary Trokey responded to a call last June of a man acting irrationally and causing damage to a house in Newfane. Court records say the troopers talked to the man, who was on the roof with a handsaw, for about 2 minutes before firing a beanbag projectile at him. The man fell off the roof after Trokey fired the round. The troopers both face a charge of reckless endangerment. A judge last week dismissed simple assault charges against the troopers. Judge Kathleen Hayes said there wasn't evidence that the beanbag caused the man to fall off the roof. But yesterday, the Attorney General's office said they wanted to submit video evidence to support the simple assault charges. Judge Hayes said she would look at the new information, but only in a written affidavit.
I think anything that's visible in a video can be described using words and can be written down.
The Troopers Union has said the charges against Wood and Trokey represent a dangerous precedent and that the troopers were attempting to resolve a difficult situation.
Green Mountain Transit will continue to offer fare-free bus rides until January. The Chittenden County bus system stopped collecting fares early in the pandemic as a virus control measure. They are planning to start charging for the rides again this July, but a new pot of state funding will cover bus fares for the rest of the year. And now, GMT will use the next several months to install new fare collection boxes. Jamie Smith, GMT's Director of Marketing and Planning, says the boxes will make it easier to pay.
The new fare boxes will have more smart technology, so like folks would be able to use their phone, digital fare payment. We probably will have something like a smart card like that people could reload or reuse if they didn't have a smartphone.
The boxes will also accept cash.
Vermont's already low unemployment rate dropped even further last month. The Department of Labor says unemployment stood at 2.4% in April, which was down from the previous month. Vermont's unemployment rate stands far below the national and New England rates. The Burlington-South Burlington area reported the lowest unemployment rate at 1.4%, while Derby was the highest in the state at 4%.
Quebec is struggling with 12 active wildfires, and officials are implementing an open fire ban in the province. The CBC reports that the ban affects most of Quebec. Most of the active wildfires are reportedly under control. The largest has burned over 1,600 acres on the eastern side of the province. Environmental officials say the fire risk will remain high in Quebec all week. And the CBC says the province is well ahead of its average wildfire count this year.
Coming up, turning vintage tablecloths and flower bags into men's clothes. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
Americans throw out more than 34 billion pounds of used textiles each year, according to research from Boston University. But one Vermonter is slowing down fast fashion by giving antique materials like grain sacks and tablecloths another life. Lindy Alderman has this profile.
I really love taking classic menswear silhouettes, but lending some amount of like softness or beauty to them, whether it's changing the fabrics or certain details.
This is Sam Zolman, the owner of Slow Process, a Burlington-based clothing line that is committed to making environmentally conscious garments that redesign the male uniform. Zolman has always known he was an artist, but didn't find his medium until he discovered sewing. He learned the craft by watching YouTube videos and taking a few classes. And for his debut collection, Zolman wanted to challenge the traditional notions of masculinity.
I wanted clothes that had elements of like my favorite menswear styles, whether that's denim jackets or cool button-down shirts or, you know, things that are more vintage inspired, like different kind of smocks or whatever. But I just wanted them to be less, to carry less of the like symbolism and like the things that identify as like hyper masculine.
And he wanted his designs to not add to America's obsession with fast fashion. Sam strictly uses high-quality textiles that date as far back as the late 1800s. He looks at all corners of the internet and estate sales to find old tablecloths, coverlets, grain sacks, and more antique fabrics that are undervalued and would otherwise be sent to landfills.
I use a lot of antique buttons. So these are all antique Corozo nut buttons. From like the kernel of a palm that grows in Central and South America mostly. But it was used before Bakelite, before plastic, but it's really durable and you can polish it and burn it, laser it, all the things you can do to plastic, but it's actually an organic material. And they're so just beautiful. All of my garments have mismatched buttons by design. I think it's just a fun little quirk.
Kelly McDowell is a sustainable fashion professor at the University of Vermont. She says over the last 50 years, the fashion industry has evolved. Today, it relies on cheap, overseas labor and less durable materials. As a result, we've become accustomed to super cheap clothing.
Does anyone really believe that a shirt is worth $3 brand new? If you do, you need to stop and realize that you are in a funk and you need to analyze your consumer psychology because, yeah, it's fun and it's you can wear it once, but why? Why? Do you understand how many hands touch that $3 shirt? So many. If $3 is split between how many hands, the wage is very low.
In addition to fast fashion's impact on workers and the planet, it also means the quality of today's clothing and textiles is a far cry from ones that makers like Sam Zollman use.
I use a lot of grain sacks and flour bags and things like that. There are ones in particular that are quite durable and pretty soft and, you know, from like the 1930s to the 1960s at a time when we didn't just put these things in plastic bags and the bags themselves were meant to be reused over and over and over again. And so the quality is far superior than most anything else you can find.
And better for the planet.
Like there's sustainability in the sense that the material you're using has already been in existence and therefore the like environmental impact of that is like a sunk cost. But if the thing that you make is then going to break down in a year, like was that really worth it?
Zollman's designs cost between $285 for a button down to more than $1,000 for larger pieces. He knows that that's unattainable for some people, but he has been surprised by how his work has connected with Vermonters.
There aren't many clothing makers, and Burlington, I would not say, is a fashion capital of the world or the United States. But there is, you know, some education that goes into the work I do where I need to contextualize, like, why are my clothes more expensive than most other clothes you can find here. And so it's, you know, taken a few years for people to know who I am and understand the work that goes into it and the stories behind these pieces.
He says many Vermonters appreciate that he does this work with his hands.
And so there's this great, like, legacy, I guess, or tradition of, you know, wanting to be self-sufficient and supporting yourself with, you know, the materials you have around you. And so in many ways, when people come into the space and they see all the sewing machines, they see the clothes, like, I think it does resonate in that way. That even though it is fashion, and fashion is something that feels a little foreign, there are elements that really connect with, the culture and lifestyle here.
For Vermont Public, I'm Lindy Olderman.
This story was produced in collaboration with the University of Vermont's Community News Service program.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Adia Golston and Mark Davis.
Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions.
I'm Liam Elder Connors.
And I'm Lexi Krupp. Talk to you tomorrow.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.